So today, as a kind of introduction, I want to briefly review what Dogen said in Jijiyu Zanmai in Bendowa, because there might be some people who are not familiar with what Dogen said in Jijiyu Zanmai. And at many Zen centers, they recite or chant Jijiyu Zanmai for during certain ceremony or services. At least at MZMC, and do they chant Jijiyu Zanmai at San Francisco Zen Center? And I think many other Zen centers recite or chant Jijiyu Zanmai. So many people are familiar with, you know, what Dogen said about his Zazen practice. But here, because we don't have so many services or chanting, we don't usually chant, you know, Jijiyu Zanmai. So let me read and make a short comment and talk on the basic structure of Jijiyu Zanmai. If you have this book, the section of Jijiyu Zanmai start page 21 from the 4th paragraph or second from the bottom. Let me read Jijiyu Zanmai paragraph by paragraph, and I make a short comment. Dogen says, "For all ancestors and Buddhas who have been dwelling in and maintaining Buddha Dharma, practicing upright, sitting in Jijiyu Zanmai is the true path for opening up enlightenment. Both in India and in China, those who have attained enlightenment have followed this way. This is because each teacher and each disciple has been intimately and correctly transmitting this subtle method and receiving and maintaining its true speed." So here in this paragraph, Dogen said, all Buddhas and ancestors have been practicing, who have been dwelling in and maintaining Buddha Dharma, the Buddha Dharma. I think you are familiar with Dharma, that has several meanings. And first one is truth or reality. To which Buddha awakened to. And second is Buddha's teachings about the reality Buddha awakened to. When Buddha awakened to that reality, in order to teach others, he talks about that reality using words and letters. That is the second meaning. Buddha's teaching is Dharma. So Buddha Dharma is basically has two meanings, and there are many other meanings in this Dharma. Third might be the because Dharma, after Dharma was taught by Buddha, this became a kind of the principle or rules Buddha's students have to follow, because this was taught by Buddha. and fourth might be method, what Buddha taught, how Buddha taught to let other people understand and experience or awaken to the same truth or reality. And this word, Buddha Dharma, include all of them. So Buddha Dharma, Buddhas and ancestors are dwelling in Buddha Dharma and maintaining Buddha Dharma. And their practice is sitting upright in this Jijuyu Samadhi. That is Dogen Zenji's point. This Bendowa was written 1231, when Dogen, even before he had his own monastery. 30. Because he was born in 1200, he was still 30 years old. And he lived by himself in a hermitage outside of Kyoto. So, center of his practice and his teaching is this practice of Jijuyu Zanmai as Zazen. And next paragraph. According to the unmistakably handed down tradition, the straightforward Buddha Dharma that has been simply transmitted is supreme among the supreme. From the time you begin practicing with a teacher, the practice of incense burning, bowing, Nembutsu, repentance, and reading sutras are not at all essential. Just sit, dropping off body and mind. So this just sitting and dropping off body and mind within the practice of Jijuyu Samadhi is the essence of his practice and teaching. Other things are not essential. Actually, this is the sayings of Dogen's teacher, Tendo Nyojo Zenji. Then he starts to describe what his Zazen is like. Next paragraph. When one displays the Buddha Mudra with one's whole body and mind, sitting upright in this samadhi, even for a short time, everything in the entire Dharma world becomes Buddha Mudra. And all space in the universe completely becomes enlightenment. Therefore, it enables Buddha Tathagatas to include the Dharma joy of their own original grounds and renew the adornment of the way of awakening. Simultaneously, all living beings of the Dharma world in the 10 directions and 6 realms become clear and pure in body and mind, realize great emancipation, and their own original face appears. At that time, all things together awaken to supreme enlightenment and utilize Buddha body. Immediately go beyond the culmination of awakening and sit upright under the kingly Bodhi tree. At the same time, they turn the incomparable great Dharma wheel and begin expressing ultimate and unfabricated profound prajna. So he started to describe what's happening in our zazen. First, for many years, whenever I read this text, I couldn't believe. Anyway, what he's saying here is when anyone, not only experienced practitioners or only enlightened people, but any one of us, when any person, displays the Buddha Mudra with one's whole body and mind, means when we sit this upright posture, upright posture, holding hands in a cosmic mudra and breathe through our nose deeply from abdomen and keep our eyes open and sit facing the wall. This is displaying the Buddha Mudra, and we let go of whatever coming up in our mind, whatever thought or feelings or emotion, whatever happening in our mind, we just let go. This is our zazen. And according to Dogen Zenji, this is to display Buddha Mudra. Buddha Mudra is like a, I often say, but Mudra is like a stamp. Stamp or seal. Stamp, for example, when we write a calligraphy, I put my stamp. That means this stamp certify this calligraphy is made by this person. So, stamp or mudra is like same as a signature in American culture. That means certification. When we found Buddha Mudra, this means this belongs to Buddha. So when we display, Buddha Mudra with our entire body and mind, this means this belongs to Buddha, not belong to this person. So our sitting is Buddha's sitting, not Shohaku's sitting. That is the point of this first sentence. Then he said, even for a short time, you don't need to sit, many years. But even for a short time, if you really sit this, just sitting, upright sitting, displaying Buddha Mudra, then everything in the entire Dharma world becomes Buddha Mudra. So this means one person sitting, then all beings in this entire world become Buddha Mudra. And all space in the universe, things and space, completely becomes enlightenment. So he's talking about this person sitting and all beings within this entire universe. And he said everything becomes enlightenment. So therefore it enables Buddha Tathagatas to include the Dharma joy of their own original ground. Within this world, there are Buddhas and all other living beings, both within the six realms of samsara or Buddha land, or including all those living beings. So one person's zazen influence to all beings within time and space, including Buddha, and also including all beings, even in the hell. So from the hell of from the hell realm until Buddha's pure land, including all time and space. This one person Zazen has influence and allow all Buddhas increase the Dharma joy and renew the adornment of the way of awakening. Simultaneously, all living beings of the Dharma world in the 10 directions and 6 realms became clear and pure in body and mind. So each and every being becomes pure and clear within this person's Zazen. And realize great emancipation. And their own original face appears within this person's Zazen. At that time, all things together awaken to supreme enlightenment and utilize Buddha body, immediately go beyond the culmination of awakening and sit upright, and all beings within this universe also together with this person sit and practice Jijyu Samadhi. So in this paragraph it says one person Zazen influence entire universe and make this universe the world of enlightenment, a world of Buddha Dharma. And next paragraph, do you believe this? I don't. But we need to understand what this means. There is a path through which the Anuttara Samyaksambodhi of all things returns to the person in Zazen, and whereby that person and the enlightenment of all things intimately and imperceptibly assist each other. And the enlightenment of each and every being within this universe return to this person sitting. So this person sitting and all other beings working together and making this entire universe more and more enlightened and awakened and liberated. Therefore, this Zazen person, without fail, drop off body and mind because of the influence of this person sitting to all beings, return to this person, and this person dropping off body and mind. Dropping off body and mind means the separation between self and all other beings, using our, you know, discriminating mind and make separation between me and all others. Dropped off means this become really one seamless time and space. Separation between this person sitting and all other beings dropped off. That is what body and mind dropped off. Dropping off means. And cuts away previous tainted views and thoughts. Tainted views and thoughts are caused by the separation. You know, I'm I. You know, others are others, and this person in this side is most important. And all other things are kind of materials I can use to make this person happy. That is a tainted view, tainted or self-centered view. how I can use this person or that things to make this person happy and satisfied. That is basically tainted views or three poisonous minds. Cut away previous tainted views and thoughts, awakens genuine Buddha Dharma. So this person, because of the influence from all other beings, awakens genuine Buddha Dharma and universally helps the Buddha work in each place. So the person is still sitting, and yet this person sitting help, you know, Buddha's work to teach others in each and every Buddha's land. The Buddha work in each place as numerous as atoms, not only one Buddha land, but as numerous as atoms, where Buddha Tathagatas teach and practice, and widely influences practitioners who are going beyond Buddha. Going beyond Buddha means not, you know, fixed in the stage of Buddhahood, but it's because it's always moving and changing, so there's no place we can stay as a so-called enlightenment or Buddhahood. We need to go, always going beyond Buddha. Thereby, vigorously exalting the Dharma that goes beyond Buddha, not only the person or people, but also the Dharma is going beyond. Nothing is fixed. And at that time, so second Dogen said, first Dogen said, this person has an influence to others, and other beings, enlightenment, influence to this person sitting, and both are working together as one function of Buddha's life. And at this time, because earth, grasses and trees, fences and walls, tiles and pebbles, all things in the Dharma realm in 10 directions carry out Buddha work. So within, in that situation, all each and every beings function as Buddha Dharma, reveals the way they are. That is the function of Buddha Dharma, just be as they are. Therefore, everyone receives the benefit of wind and water movement. And each and every being influence other beings. Caused by this functioning, and all are imperceptibly helped by the wondrous and incomprehensible influence of Buddha. So this totality is functioning of Buddha. And this person sitting is a kind of a key to, how can I say, tune in. It's like a, you know, key of the car. When we turn the ignition key, you know, the entire system starts to work. So our zazen is like a turning the key when we start to drive a car. The entire you know, system, you know, is ready to work as a car or as a Buddha Dharma. So carry out Buddha work, therefore everyone receives the benefit of wind and water movement caused by this functioning, and all are imperceptibly helped by the wondrous and incomprehensible influence of Buddha to actualize the enlightenment at hand. So not only this person and all other beings, among, you know, all other beings, they also help each other, support each other to, you know, show the Buddha Dharma. Since those who receive and use this water and fire extend the Buddha influence of original enlightenment, all who live and talk with these people also share and universally unfold the boundless Buddha virtue, and they circulate the inexhaustible, ceaseless, incomprehensible, and immeasurable Buddha Dharma within and without the whole Dharma world. So this all beings this within this entire Dharma world function and reveals and manifest and express Buddha Dharma. And they support and influence each other. However, as usual, Dogen says, however, these various mutual influences do not mix into the perceptions of this person sitting. So we cannot see all these functions, because if we perceive or see, there's a separation between, you know, subject who is sitting and seeing, and all other things as object, because, you know, there's no such separation between subject and object. That is the meaning of dropping of body and mind. We cannot perceive, you know, things happening. Do you believe this? You know, when I was young, I tried to read and understand this sentence. I thought, you know, this is something I have to just accept or throw it away. Only two choices, but I couldn't make either choice. I don't believe it, and yet I cannot throw it away. So somehow I had to sit with this, you know, unbelievable, you know, description of the Zen for really many years. Because, you know, the reason why I started to practice the Zen is not I understood what Dogen said, but because before I started to read Dogen, I read my teacher's book and I wanted to live like him. So even though I don't understand and I don't believe this, you know, I don't have reason to stop it, to quit it. So in order to live like in the way my teacher lived, I wanted to continue to practice, even though I don't believe, you know, this thing. But after many years of practice, little by little, still I don't believe, and I don't need to believe it. But from not in here, but from the bottom of my being, I not feel, but somehow, believe might be only one. One possible word, but I believe this is really happening. Not believe, I don't like believe. I feel, not a feel. Is there any good English?
Intuit?
Not the intuition.
It's more like experience.
Yeah.
Or sense.
Within experience, I'm convinced, you know, this is really true.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know what is the word, but I really think this is really happening in my zazen. Not think, even though I don't think and I don't believe it, but I don't know what the word for this. Anyway, so Dogen said, however, these various mutual influences do not mix into the perceptions of this person sitting, because they take place within stillness, without any fabrication, and they are enlightenment itself. And another question I had was, if so, how Dogen knew these things are happening? If practice and enlightenment were separate as people commonly believe, it would be possible for them to perceive each other. You know, practice is this person sitting, and enlightenment is, you know, happening within this entire universe. If these two are two separate things, they could, you know, meet and see and perceive each other. But because they are just one seamless reality, there's no way to perceive, no separation at all. But that which is associated with perceptions cannot be the standard of enlightenment, because deluded human sentiment cannot reach the standard of enlightenment. Moreover, next paragraph, moreover, although both mind and object, mind, the person sitting, and object, if we use the word, we have to use mind and object, or subject and object, appear and disappear within stillness. Even the person, this person is sitting, you know, the person's, you know, object of six sense organs are, you know, coming and going, appear and disappear, and changing moment by moment. So, moreover, although both mind and object appear and disappear within stillness, because this takes place, this entire movement takes place in the realm of self-receiving and self-employing. Self-receiving and self-employing is jijuyu, self-receiving and self-employing. We use the word employing for this word you or function. Without moving a speck of dust or destroying a single form, extensive Buddha work and profound, subtle Buddha influence are carried out. So even the person sitting doesn't perceive all those, you know, Buddha's function and teaching and influence are happening. The grass, trees, and earth affected by this functioning radiate great brilliance together, and endlessly expound the deep, wondrous Dharma. So all beings are really expressing the deep Buddha Dharma. And actually, you know, those things, you know, grasses, trees, and fences, all things are really expressing the, you know, thusness, or the reality as it is. But only because we make discrimination, you know, we cannot see, you know, those things as they are, because face them, or we make correct relationship as namarupa, as I often say. You know, when this person face with this object as namarupa, that means, you know, this is my book, and this is about, you know, Dogen's teaching. So this book is important to me. That kind of relationship I kind of fabricate between this person and this object. Therefore, you know, this things does not reveal as it is. It reveals to me as my book, and in this case, important book. But this is not really a book. This is just a, you know, paper. Collection of papers on which some, you know, characters are printed. And to me, this is important, but for the people who are not interested in Buddhism, you know, this is same as, you know, the, you know, or other, you know, waste paper. No difference. Difference is within us. I make difference. But these books and waste paper don't make difference. They don't. This book doesn't say I'm more important than this paper. But to me, this book is more important than other, you know, blank papers. So this discrimination or value judgment is only this side, not that side. So these things are always revealing the thusness or what these really are. But our mind doesn't see, you know, those things as they are, but make discrimination in the way, you know, this person, in the way that is most convenient and useful to this person. I think that is how, you know, all beings does not reveal the reality as it is, but you know, reveals as something important, something less important, something not important at all. You know, that is what we create in our mind. And in our zazen, sitting in our zazen, we let go of that kind of discrimination. Then, you know, each and everything, whether they are important or are not important, you know, reveals as they are. So grasses and trees, fences and walls demonstrate and exalt it for the sake of living beings, both ordinary and sage, and in turn, living beings, both ordinary and sage, express and unfold it for the sake of grasses and trees, fences and walls. So even though we are discriminating mind, still, you know, when we let go of that discriminating mind, or namarupa, you know, the person and all other beings, usually called object, you know, function and support each other with reality, one reality before any separation. It works together. In like a, you know, air comes into our body and goes out without any discrimination, whether I think it's important to breathe or not. Even when we are sleeping, you know, air comes in and goes out. This is nothing to do with our evaluation or our appreciation, but as a actual movement of or cooperation of these five skandhas, and air comes in and goes out, and water is also. So the realm of self-awakening, awakening ourselves and awakening others, helping each other, helping oneself and helping others, is fundamentally endowed with the quality of enlightenment, with nothing lacking. So this is a perfect manifestation of enlightenment, and allows the standard of enlightenment to be actualized ceaselessly. So the key is this one person's sitting, even for a short time. Then, therefore, even if only one person sit for a short time, because this Zazen is one with all existence and completely permeate all times. You know, we are sitting within, you know, 24 hours. Our sitting is very short, only, you know, 50 minutes or two or three or more period, but still short. But this sitting within a short period of time is, it said, is completely one with entire space and entire time. So here is, you know, time and space. This time and space really become one seamless moment and one seamless space, as I always say, in our Zazen. It means this person sitting and all things, all beings within throughout time and space. It performs everlasting Buddha guidance within the inexhaustible Dharma world, in the past, present, and future. You know, this is caused by this one person sitting right now, right here. So, Zazen is equally the same practice and the same enlightenment for both the person sitting and all other beings, and for all dharmas. The melodious sound continues to resonate as it echoes, not only during sitting practice. So until here, Dogen Zen said, this short period, short time of sitting causes, you know, this, you know, function of Dharma. But he said not only when we are sitting, not only during sitting practice, but before and after striking shunyata. So sitting is like a striking shunyata, you know, striking the, you know, big temple bell. You know, we hear the resonate or echo of emptiness. We don't know what is happening, you know, whether this person's hit or this striker caused the sound or wave of air, or whether the bell, the metal thing caused the sound, or the air caused the sound, or our ear, you know, cause the sound. What is the true cause? And there's no such true cause or one fixed, you know, first cause, but all things happening at the same time and express this shunyata. So even when we are not sitting, same thing is happening. So the sound of shunyata continues endlessly before and after a hammer hit it. So not even when the, you know, the bell is not hit, the sound of emptiness continues. Please.
Shunyata means
emptiness.
Oh.
Emptiness. So our zazen is like a hitting the bell and sound make the sound of emptiness. Not only that, but all things are endowed with original practice within the original face, which is impossible to measure. So there's no way to measure it, because there's no separation between the things we want to measure and the measure and the person who want to measure. This is really one seamless thing. So there's subject, object, and action. The separation of those three are not really separated. Only when we think we separate, I hit the bell. So I try to kind of make a connection between this person and the bell by the action of hitting. But that is only within our thinking. So not only that, but all things are endowed with original practice within the original face, which is impossible to measure. So you should know that even if all the Buddhas in the 10 directions, as numerous as the sands of the Ganges River, together engage the full power of their Buddha wisdom, they could never reach the limit or measure or comprehend the virtue of one person's zazen. So even all Buddhas in the entire Dharma world try to work together and measure the virtue of this one person's zazen sitting, there's no way to measure such virtue. You know, this is Dogen Zenji's description of his zazen as Jiju Zanmai. So the structure of this Jiju Zanmai is one person's even small action, like a sitting for a short time, influence and in a sense change the entire world, not only this moment, but from beginningless beginning until the endless end. This is the basic structure of Jiju Zanmai. So this influence others, and all other beings influence to this person, and between other things, same thing happening. So everything is working each other by, you know, this small, very small, tiny action. This entire world, everything within this entire world is moving and changing and working and makes music of emptiness, was music of silence. That is a basic, I think, structure of Jiju Zanmai. And a few weeks ago, when I talked on Sunday morning, I talked on one paragraph of this book, Opening the Hand of Thought. I read the part which Amaros said, we and all entire world is born together and live together and die together. I'd like to read that section again. Said, when I took my first breath, my world was born with me. when I die, my world dies with me. In other words, I wasn't born into a world that was already here before me. I do not live simply as one individual among millions of other individuals. And I do not leave everything behind to live on after me. People go through life thinking of themselves as members of a group or a society. However, this isn't how we really live. Actually, I bring my own world into existence, live it out, and take it with me when I die. When I talk on this part, I introduce what Uchiyamaroshi discussed in this book about Tenzo Kyokun. And to me, what Uchiyamaroshi said about this point, that we are born together with this world, we are living together with this world, and we die together with this world, is the same thing as a structure, same thing with what Dogen said about his Zazen. That is some next thing I'd like to talk. Uchiyamaroshi discussed about this point in the section 4 of this book, that is page 39. And this is the section he started to actually talk about Dogen's teaching in Tenzo Kyokun. So this section starts page 39, but at the end of this section, he quotes the very beginning of Tenzo Kyokun. If you have this book, page 39 to 45. Anyway, before this text section, in section 3, he discussed about Zazen. Zazen as a practice of magnanimous mind. Magnanimous mind is a mind without discrimination. And those three minds, magnanimous mind, parental or nurturing mind, and a joyful mind are called three minds, or in Japanese, sanshin. And that is the name of this temple. And first, Uchiyamaroshi discussed this big mind or magnanimous mind without any discrimination. And he said that mind is manifested within our Zazen by letting go of thought. And then here he started to discuss about working in the kitchen, that means outside of Zendo. How this magnanimous mind, or jiju samadhi, or zanmai, in which person and entire world working together seamlessly. And basically, what Uchiyamaroshi wants to say is, this is the structure of jiju zanmai is the structure of our life. So this is not only in our zazen, but whatever we do, in the case of Tenzo, working in the kitchen, working with food ingredient, or water, or fire, or all other things, or other people, it can be the same practice as Jiju Zanmai. That is a very basic point, if you want to teach, I mean, Uchiyamaroshi want to teach us in this section. And in the first paragraph, he said, as I stated previously, having a big mind or a magnanimous mind means to remain unbiased and open. Unbiased means no separation and no partial, judgment. And open. It is the mind which does not stamp a fixed value on everything. So we don't make judgment. Nor decide on things simply by feeling or sentiments. This does not mean that we become like vegetables, knowing or understanding nothing. We have to delve more deeply than that into the significance of big mind. So beyond going beyond discrimination doesn't mean our mind stop working. Of course, in our zazen, we let go of whatever thought. But when we get out of zendo and start to do something, we have to use our mind. And the function of our mind is discrimination. So we make discrimination or make distinction, and we have to make choice which is better than others. And in order to do so, we have to, make a value judgment. So it's very important point to understand what's the difference and relationship between our sitting practice that is really beyond thinking and our day-to-day lives in which we have to work together with other things and other beings. And there, actually there's subject-object relationship and we have to make judgment. What is the relationship between these two? So there are some difference. And yet, what Uchiyamaroshi want to say is basic structure is the same. Person working in the kitchen and things within, in this case, in the case of Tenzo, things in the kitchen are working seamlessly as one reality. That is what Uchiyamaroshi basically want to say. And he start to discuss the basic structure or nature of our life. And first he said, he quote Sawaki Roshi's famous saying, that is, Sawaki Roshi used to say that you cannot exchange even a thought with other person, that you have to live out your own life. This is a starting point. That means we cannot make exchange anything with others. So I have to live out my life and they live out their lives. So we are alone, completely alone. That is the first thing Uchiyamaroshi said about our life. So he drew, this diagram. We are completely alone. We are separate. So this kind of interesting thing. And he said, this is a starting point of our practice, to see the absolute reality that we are alone. We cannot share and exchange even a thought. We are born alone, and we live alone, and we die alone. There's no such connection or relationship with other people. And this is kind of a paradoxical or contradicted about what Dogen said in Jijyu Zanmai. But according to Uchiyamaroshi, this is a starting point to really awaken to and understand the true reality of our life. So let me read what Uchiyamaroshi said. This is a typical expression filled with Sawaki Roshi's style of humor. Yet, how clearly it expresses the truth of life. There is no way to borrow a fat from someone else. I think that is true. Even if we are willing to add a little fat on for interest, it's not possible. This is Uchiyamaroshi's and Sawaki Roshi's style to discuss about this kind of very philosophical, lofty topic of our life. This absolute nature of being unable to trade or exchange with another is the essence of our very own lives. So we have to live our lives by ourselves alone. Perhaps this seems quite obvious, but I question whether more than a few people recognize the absolute nature of life, even in terms of being unable to exchange so much as a fat. We have become so accustomed to the world of giving and taking, exchange, giving and taking, that we assume it is only normal to trade with another, and we lose sight of that life wherein trading has no bearing. But we always think, you know, giving and taking is possible, exchanging things with other people are possible. That is a way, that is a world in which we are living. For example, most people now live in a society that thinks almost any problem can be solved with money. Almost all. Actually, I wonder if most of us do not more or less believe that to be true. And I think it's true. I mean, almost all things. That idea, coupled with the fact that we have made money the actual unit of barter, has caused it to be thought of as possessing absolute value. So, all our lives, we busy ourselves making money and assume it is natural to struggle for wealth and status, even by deceiving, cheating, and killing one another. Because it seems, you know, if we have a lot of money, we can solve almost all problems we experience in the society. So to make money became most important things, even the purpose of our life for many people, you know, in this modern society. And that idea, we can exchange and resolve that all many difficulties using money. Therefore, we earn money, make money. In order to do so, we get money from other people, and we have to, you know, cheat fight or compete with others. We think that is a reality of our life in this modern society. But Uchamuroshi is saying, here is the diverging point between the Buddhist way of life and what we generally call the way of the world, worldly way. One is a world of money in which we trade and bargain with others, while the other is a world wherein trade is irrelevant and impossible. And that is the absolute world of the self. And then he writes another diagram. This means we can communicate each other using words and concept. And we use words and concept in the same way as money, as a method of exchanging and sharing. So, I don't have enough time to read entire section, so I just read a small part. In any event, this is a world in which trading or exchanging is impossible. And that is, it is a world, our practice, world of our practice, in which each of us must rely only upon ourselves. We cannot rely on others. We can only rely on ourselves. And that is what Buddha said in Dhammapada. The foundation of our life is only ourself. So this is the first reality. And then, differing from the previous diagram in which the absolute nature of human life precludes any exchange with others, here we have the world of language. One aspect of our lives as human beings is that each of us has an individual head, different both in shape and content from everyone else's. In contrast to other animals, human beings have the special characteristic of being able to communicate in complex ways through languages. And diagram three is, you know, we create the world of language in which we communicate each other, we compare each other, and we compete each other. That is the way we live in this modern society. And then our life in the society becomes like this. This is a stage of a theater. You know, there's a stage, and this is a stage of the world, and we think when we are born, we appear in this within this stage, and we play certain roles for a while, and we disappear from this stage of life. And while we are on the stage, there are something we think valuable or desirable, and something we think meaningless, valueless, or we hate. You know, there are those things within the world of our discrimination. And it seems, you know, our role is to chase after this important things, or escape from things, negative things. And when we reach there, we think our life is successful. And when we have to stay here, you know, our life is a failure. And from between here and there, you know, there are many stages, and our life is how far we can go towards that direction. And depending upon how far, how close to this point, you know, we measure ourselves, we value ourselves, how successful we are, how important we are, how famous or wealthy or whatever. And some people think our life is good, important, successful. And other people think, you know, our life is like a hell. And there are many different states between these two. And according to Buddhism, this is the world of transmigration. That means in whichever stage you are, things are changing. You cannot stay where you are. And also, no matter how successful you are, and you achieve so many things, and you possess so many things, when you leave this stage, you have to leave everything here. And we have to die with naked this body and mind. So basically what Uchamuroshi is saying is this world in which we run after something and escape from something is basically creation of our mind. It's not real reality. The reality is we are born alone, live alone, die alone, without any comparison and competition with others. And about the life of on this stage, Uchamuroshi write, this is a world in which everything is already determined. That means what is success, what is failure, what is fortunate and misfortunate, good and evil, success and failure are prefabricated and assumed values. So not only within ourselves, but within this society, that kind of discrimination is already fixed.